Father, we're grateful again to be in your presence, knowing that this is a critical hour, a crucial hour, a juncture time, Lord, a change of eras, and we are not unmindful of it. We're glad, Lord, we're here to know that we have a part in it, that we are not of those upon whom the flood comes unawares, nor are we amongst those when the Master returns. We're unaware, but we know these things, and we're grateful. We're blessed because we do know them, and we say we do not know them of ourselves, but we know them because you vindicated yourself to a prophet, vindicated the prophet to us, and now we know we have a vindicated word, a reality, which we are grateful, Lord, is our foundation, putting us right back to the very beginning, pillars in the temple of our God. So, Father, we count ourselves privileged people, which indeed we are, and thank you for it all. For we know that by grace are we saved through faith, not of ourselves. It's the whole thing is a gift of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in himself, and gave us a portion of it as our portion, as predestination. So we commend ourselves now to you in the study of your word. May grace accompany us tonight, Lord, to this end. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, I'm going to just do something I am not prone to do. I have my notes here, but I'm going to set them aside. I want to take a little time with 2 Peter. There are certain books in the Bible that are written specifically concerning the coming, the end time coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Two of those books are 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and also there's much of 1 Peter and 2 Peter almost entirely, the book of Revelation also. Now, we'll just start reading here in the first chapter of 2 Peter. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. That's our Master. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now you notice he's putting everything back on God here. So then if God doesn't give it to you and do it for you, you're not going to get it. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, to your knowledge temperance, your temperance patience, your patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Now in there you'll notice that there are 7 specific things mentioned that Brother Branham likened to 7 steps in a growth in grace to a person and to the 7 church ages, of which the first church, the last church age would be recipient of brotherly kindness, that Brother Branham more or less described as the people of this hour are very, very prickly. And but he also said that when there was a real need, the people would pray for each other and do their best to help each other. They would get over then their differences, and that's about what this 7 church age would bring forth until the 8th one was love, which Brother Branham called Christ, God himself who is love. And he said you come to the place where an individual putting on, starting with virtue, faith, first of all. He said here, add to your faith virtue. Now, of course, we understand the first precept is faith. We start with faith, which is a revelation. And then Brother Branham mentioned virtue, which he actually used as dunamis, but it is not so in this scripture here. It is actually is virtue, as we understand virtue more than we. But you notice he took the scripture where he said, virtue went out of me, which really, in that translation, is dunamis, which is power. And so he took faith brings on a power ministry. Now, I know that many people might say, well, you see, Brother Branham made a great mistake there. Prophets don't make mistakes. See, the difference between me and a lot of preachers and a lot of people who teach, they think that you can teach from a rigid concept of your own understanding of the Word. That's not possible. The first church age almost split asunder over a diphthong, which is a double vowel. Now, if Brother Branham said that add to your faith dunamis, whether he called it by that or not, that's what it is. You follow what I'm saying? Because you and I are not prophets. We don't know how perfectly accurate every single word in the Greek manuscript is as to a perfect understanding from the Greek to the English in this hour. It just isn't there. So, the prophet comes on the scene and he says, we start with faith and then we go to dunamis, which he called virtue, due to the fact that virtue went out of him, which was power. Then we understand, we go from revelation to power, which is exactly what we see in the book of Acts, when he told them, tarry in the city Jerusalem, till you be endued with dunamis from on high. And then the scripture categorically tells us that because of this great faith, revelatory faith that they had, they, like lions, went out and turned the world upside down, God bearing witness with signs and wonders and miracles. All right, and then he says to this, then you begin moving back into a realm of more of the aesthetic and the knowledge. So he says you're going to add knowledge. And of course there's only one knowledge that is of any value, and that is the knowledge of God. And of course the church went plumb off a track on its knowledge of God. And then he says to knowledge you add temperance. And of course temperance is balance. Where you're temperate in all things. You don't go off on jags. You don't run over here and there. You'd be surprised how that people can sit in a pew or get a hold of my tapes and write me letters to run me. I've had people around here trying to run me. And a man came in last Sunday trying to run me, and I'll tell you about it this Sunday. And I get letters, they try to run me. Ain't no use. Why would I want to listen to you or anybody else and I got access to God? See, they don't know the first thing about temperance. They don't. They're a mess from the inside out and the outside in. Now, I got far more temperance than they think I have because I take it most of the time. You say, well, that's patience. Patience got a lot to do with temperance. Temperance is not being extreme. It's balance. Okay? You add to that patience. Now, patience is where you're ready, willing to wait, where you don't get ahead of God. Now, you people here got to learn patience. For some, you haven't learned patience. You're too gung-ho. That's what's wrong with right now, this message. Too many people got gung-ho. Now, look, if I'm right in teaching the present, you tell me where I've run with it. You tell me where my radio broadcasts are, my letters, or anything else. Can't find it. You know why? Because I've learned a little simple lesson. I've learned to wait 10, 12, 15, 16, 17 years for one point. And when you learn to wait under the patience of God, you develop a lot of patience in a lot of other areas too. If you haven't got a definitive answer, you're far better to sit back and wait. You say, well, Brother Bale, I may lose a lot of money. Yeah, and you may lose your crown, too, by messing around. Now, maybe a lot of learning around this place to go. See, I'm one of these days I got to go anyway. Because I don't, you know, like my life will expire, hopefully, but I don't say it will. And anything I've got isn't going to do you one bit of good. You've got to get your own. You know, many people think I'm a very impatient fella because I can strike very rapidly. I got lots of patience. Yep. See, everything you've got has got to dovetail one with the other. Now, if you start with faith, which is a revelation, and you see the hand of God begin to move, which in itself is not an evidence, but it should be there, then you go to knowledge, then you go to a temperance, see, then your patience must be linked with all of that which has preceded it. Not just you sitting around, something like a frog, waiting for a fly to come by, though I guess that's all right too. There's nothing too much wrong with that. But you're adding, as you go along, and temperance is a very, very great quality, and patience is a very great quality. And then to your patience, there comes a godliness. In other words, your senses are exercised unto righteousness so that you're not gullible. You're not doing a lot of things you shouldn't do. And then when you're there, you're in a position to put on brotherly kindness, which makes you to realize at this point the fallibilities of mankind, because all through this you yourself were so fallible. Now, let's just stop right there and go back to Romans, the 5th chapter. Now, we're coming into a place of maturity, and we've got to come to maturity because we're under the Melchizedek understanding, because Brother Branham preached, who is this Melchizedek? We're at the end where Paul says, when you ought to be teachers, he said, somebody's got to take you the milk again. And that's exactly what happened to this message. They all went back to Pentecost. All went back to the milk. See, they got as far as a faith in God and a dynamism, but they never got past that. Now, you see right in here, it said, partake of divine nature, add your faith, virtue, and your virtue knowledge. And they died at that point. Because there isn't either the Trinity or the Oneness got any real conception of the Godhead. Now, that's where this church began having problems. Because there were those who couldn't see what oneness was in a wrong way as from a true understanding of Godhead. Now, let's understand Godhead once and for all. There's one God who is spirit. That's not flesh and bone. See? But this spirit is creator. And if he institutes a certain process of creating, then everybody ought to shut up and say, thank God he does it that way. Instead of trying to pick their brains and get to some place where they got no jumping off place, if they have it, they're going to fall through the abyss. Now, that may sound a little strange what I said right here, but merciful heaven, but now you ought to understand what I'm driving at. All right. I'm talking about a progression in people's lives here. Now, we're going to go into Romans, the 5th chapter. Every being justified by faith, be at peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Now, notice what he said, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, in other words, we have an earnest expectation of the sharing of this glory. Now, how do you get it? Through Jesus Christ, we have access by faith. It's a faith premise. You've got to believe that there is something there in your behalf that you've got representation. Now, if you've got representation here, then you had representation way back there. Now, if you don't understand and believe that, you haven't got eternal life. You're not born again. I'm telling you flat. You haven't got the Holy Ghost. Now, let's pin it down. Because I've gone into knowledge right here, and I'm going to start tracing things. Now, you don't have to be a theologian to agree with me. You just got to know what I've said. Because you've been sitting under this ministry for years and years and years. Now, and rejoice. And your rejoicing is in the understanding that you will have a portion of God's own glory. Because you're a son from way back there. Now, that's laid out in front of you. You say, that's mine, thank you. Now, that's settled. Now, the legalist comes along and the falling away, and he wants to mess you up. Now, if you're not born again, you will get messed up. If you are born again, you won't get messed up. Now, once in a while, you may have to tread water till certain things come to your attention that'll give you log to float a little higher. Because we've got problems. All right, now what? And not only so, but what? We glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Now, what we're back in, now hold your finger there, and what we're back here in 1 Peter. It says, according as his, verse 3, as his divine power has given us to all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Same thing over here, he's called you to a glory. Now there's a knowledge that is not implied. There's a knowledge that is known. Now see, if you don't have that, you're not going to have any patience. If you don't know that, you're not going to have any temperance. You're going to run way over here to legalism, way over here to eternal security, and it's the same stupid spirit. One says, I got to do it all. And the other one says, well, I can do anything I want. Well, that's a lot of hogwash. So we go back to Romans. Now what? We glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. That's endurance. And endurance experience, which is character or maturity. And maturity brings you to earnest expectation. Now watch. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the earnest expectation of the glory of God. Now, you start out with this earnest expectation, which is a revelation. And you come on down here. Now all you're putting on all of these things that are so valuable, that are born in you, that are birthed into you, Brother Branham said, by the Holy Spirit. And each one of them is taking you on. Now, in here, after this life that we're living, coming up to the end, and the church is the same as the individual, we come to the place, especially in the bride, the church, of character and maturity. Now, at the time of maturity, what is loose? Okay, he says here, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and God is through the knowledge of him. Through the knowledge of him. Okay? Now we go back to the book of Hebrews. The 5th chapter. 11th verse. Of whom we many things, hard things to say, but hard to be uttered, seeing your dull of hearing. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now, notice he says in here, have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Peace be multiplied unto you. Through the knowledge of God, even of Jesus Christ our Lord, comes by him. According he has given us divine power and given, and according as his divine power has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and to virtue. Okay? Now he says here, everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of youth have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, okay, remember Satan came and he said to Adam, now he said, you're going to know to discern between good and evil. Then God came by and he said, the man has become as one of us to the knowledge of good and evil. Now, what Adam got at that time put him one step between him and God. That's all there was. It just took him one step. Now, at this end time, because of the understanding of Malachi, the third chapter, the 18th verse, then shall you return and discern between righteousness and wickedness, between him that serves God and him that serves him not. Alright? How does that take place? It takes place under the prophet Elijah, for he shall turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. Okay? When he does, you're at the last step, which is the Son of Righteousness arises with healing in his wings. Adam, one step from God. Let's go back and look at it. Satan came along. Now, verse 5 of the third chapter, for God doth know the days of your eyes being open, you shall be as God's knowing good and evil. In other words, you'll understand good and you'll know evil. It'll be right there. Now, over here in 3:22, and the Lord God said, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. Now lest he put forth his hand and take of the tree of life and eat and live forever. In other words, in the condition of one step, the literal knowledge of good and evil. All he had was one step in the right direction, filling in that little gap, he could have been immortal. Now, there's where we are right tonight. Elijah's come and turned our hearts back all the way from what's gone down for 6,000 solid years to one step between us and immortality. We are right here where it just takes that one step. Now, what constitutes the one step? Okay. Where were we? Over here in 2 Peter. That second chapter. A first chapter. Now we hold our finger there, and we go back to Romans, the fifth chapter. Alright? We're looking at it. Now, it said here that this one starts rejoicing in the earnest expectation of the glory of God. And there's a process that you go through. And when you come through the process, now what? You rejoice in the earnest expectation of the glory of God. Now, that is a word. That is a promise. But watch. Not only so, we glory in tribulations. Every single age has gone through it, knowing that tribulation worketh endurance. Endurance brings us to character and maturity. And maturity brings us to earnest expectation. Now watch. An earnest expectation maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now, this, it to me, is literally a parallel of over here in 2 Peter, the first chapter, which is a more minute description of the processes of the seven church ages, that when you come to brotherly kindness, you have come to the last step. There's nothing else you can go to. You've come to the place which is called love. This love, God, here, not a virtue, but the person, comes down and seals the individual in, seals the whole church in. So is man, goes through a process of life where he comes to the place of that knowledge of God, wherein he knows, and this has been in every age, that there is a place of reality, and he attains to it. Now, there's some, of course, think they're saved. I don't care about them. You're going to have them anyway. You're going to be those that think they're born again. You have them anyway, but there's a bride who knows she is. And they're in every age along with the foolish virgin. Now, the bride in every age gets sealed in. Now, this end time, there's a final sealing in of individuals, a final sealing in of the whole bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, at that time, there is one step. There is one step between immortality and what we have now. Now, just as Jesus closed the book and stopped reading at a certain place, God also stopped man at a certain place. And that man could not live in that condition that he was in for the 6,000 years allotted to man to live as man in flesh. Now, there's only one thing God can do because his plan was higher, which was bring him to immortality. And man could not be in immortality in the way that he was, so therefore God had already foreknown in order to institute a plan of perfect redemption and salvation, so that when the last elected member was in, then God himself would take down the barriers so that man could make that one step between him and God, between him and immortality. Now, that's why you have at the end time here Elijah turning the hearts of the children back to the Father, so that he can be absolutely in a position to come to the place of that one step, which was originally a true knowledge of good and evil, which Cain did not know, but Abel did know. Now we've come back to the knowledge of evil. See? We've come right back. Therefore, as Abel had the only revelation. See? The only true revelation. The revealed word. An understanding of the sacrifice and the principles of God. Now let's go to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews and see it. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. That's the undergirding. The evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Now notice they obtained a good report. Over in Hebrews 5, there isn't a good report. When it's time that you were mature, in other words, you've gone through the process mentioned in Romans 5. All right. They didn't have it there. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. Now watch. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying to his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Now, you'll notice that Abel absolutely understood emphatically at that time of one step away from God. See? One step away from immortality. He understood perfectly the difference between righteousness and wickedness in who served God and who didn't serve God. That's why Pentecostals and everybody can sit in the church pew and hear Brother Branham say, there is only one sin, it's unbelief, and everything else is merely an evidence or an attribute of that sin. Smoking is not sin. Adultery is not sin. Lying is not sin.
They're the attributes of sin. There's only one sin, that's unbelief. Now, God was the one that put the barrier up. Now then, if one step away to immortality is the knowledge of good and evil, then the return to Cain representing his lineage and the bride, her lineage, Revelation returning, will bring God down and man one step from immortality. You follow what I'm saying? Well, that's exactly what we're looking at here. One step. Now, in this chapter here, love is God Himself. Now, it has to be, because He was there acknowledging the sacrifice. He wasn't there acknowledging the Bible. Uninterpreted and unrevealed. He absolutely repudiated the Bible unrevealed. Because that fella had a very good sacrifice. And he killed his brother because his deeds were evil. Now, you're right back again today. The lack of revelation is what brings on spiritual death. Now, the ages are over. So therefore, God is obligated now to remove anything that's in the way for man to walk into immortality. Why? Now look, I trust you understand what I'm saying, because let's go back to the book of Malachi and just show you. Just in case you're not getting what I'm saying. Alright. He says right here, in that fourth chapter, for behold, the day cometh. Now listen, that's not the fourth chapter per se. There's no such thing as chapters in the Bible. There's no such thing as verses. Some places not even upper and lower case letters. In fact, the Hebrew doesn't have it. And it's done in pictograph. Now it tells you right there that what we call the third chapter, speaking of John the Baptist and so on. And then it comes over here, talks about the day when the Lord's going to make up His jewels in verse 17. In verse 18 it says, they'll return and discern between righteousness and wickedness, between him that serves God and him that doesn't serve Him. It says, in other words, there's going to be an understanding for the first time of Cain and Abel. There's going to be a definitive understanding of Melchizedek, and the whole thing's going to open up. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly. Now, there's up here, there's a bunch that won't do wickedly. Why? Because they discern between righteousness and wickedness, and remember, Cain's deed was wicked. Not the killing of his brother, that's a lot of hogwash. The wicked deed led to him killing his brother. The wicked deed was unbelief. Not that the deed was, but the spirit within him was unbelief. Now, the day cometh that'll burn as an oven, and all the proud, that's that bunch up there that do wickedly. Now listen, it doesn't even mean that they know they're doing wickedly. You say, you don't think that's right, Brother Bill? I can prove I know what I'm talking about. I don't care what anybody else says. I'm not interested in what anybody else says. That's why I tell people, you're going to come down and talk with me. You're going to try to, like I told this fellow, I said, now you come down and argue with me and try to tell me something, just stay away. Ain't going to do you no good because nobody's going to tell me nothing. You say, do you think you're right, Brother Bill? What do you think? No, I haven't arrived, but at least I'm not stupid. My God, you think after 17 solid years I don't know this message? What do you think of all this flack for? Because I do know the message. Now it says right here that John the Baptist in verse 17 of Luke 1, he shall go before the Lord God of Israel in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, even the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready the prepared people to get a bride ready. Now listen, he doesn't get a bride. The bride's there to be made ready. You know, we do more proselytizing than soul winning. Where did Brother Branham's 3 million converts go? To Trinitarian Pentecost. How many brides there? That wasn't the call. It was, come out of her, my people. How many under his ministry really saw the light? Very, very few. I'm not faulting anything. I'm just bringing something to your attention. Now it tells you there was a bride already here. And the word disobedient doesn't mean those people that are willfully going against the commandments of God. They are the ones who just don't know any better. They're ignorant. So therefore Elijah comes at this hour in the presence of God to give people a revelation of that God, who he is, the purpose, and the ministry, and so on. But you can hear, just read John, what John the Baptist said. Now let's go back here again. Now, they did do wickedly. Gonna burn them up. Leaving neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the sun of righteousness arise with healing in his wings. At the same time, from the same presence, the judgment unto final destruction of burning of this earth, both in a brush fire burnover and a complete dissolution. There's got to be a prophet named Elijah who will turn the hearts. And the one that is the judge and the executioner gives immortality to a bride. And all we had to do was get right back to that one step of the knowledge of good and evil. For the first time, we're empowered to do right. Because for the first time, the bride is filled. Because this has been going on for ages. And for the first time from the beginning, the bride has the definitive revelation of the word per se mechanically and beyond that. Because they didn't have Ephesians 1, 15 to 23. All they had was Ephesians 1, 1 to 14. Ephesians 1, 15 to 23 is Malachi 4, 1 and 2. See? Okay. We go back now again to Peter. And I'm not going to even attempt to get this finished tonight. I'll just keep working on it. Because I want to just show you things that go along. Now, to brotherly kindness and to brotherly kindness love. And Brother Branham categorically said what that was God himself. For God is love. Now, that brings us over here to 1 Corinthians. Now watch what he said here. In verse 8, love never fails. Whether they be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether tongues, they shall cease. Knowledge will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. Now you notice that up there, that belonged to the part. And he's telling you, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. Now, let's just watch. Let's keep your finger there. Let's go back to 2 Peter. Simon Peter, servant of the apostle of Jesus Christ. To them that attain like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge. According to his divine power given unto us all things that pertain unto life and good godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Whereby given us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world through lust. And beside this, having giving all diligence, add your faith virtue, your virtue knowledge, your knowledge temper, temperance patience, patience godliness, godliness brotherly kindness, brotherly kindness love. That's God himself coming down. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you, you should be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice, it starts with knowledge and it ends with knowledge. Okay? Now, and in between there's all these parts and things in there of knowledge. Okay. In that ninth verse, we know in part and we prophesy in part. Now, let's get this flat. You don't prophesy from what you know. You prophesy from what you don't know. Because holy men of God didn't prophesy because they knew something. They prophesied because they didn't know anything. For prophecy doesn't come by the will of man. It comes by the will of God, and they're swept into it. And they can't stop if they try to stop. All right. We know in part. Even we prophesy in part. So that what you know comes from the prophecy, that which you're supposed to have, you will know. But when that which is perfect is come, completed, and there aren't any more parts. So then everything that came in part is done away. Justification gave way to sanctification. Sanctification gave way to the baptism with the Holy Ghost. And the baptism with the Holy Ghost gives way to the Holy Ghost himself. Now that's what it says in Ephesians. See? Just keep your finger there in 1 Corinthians 13. Ephesians, the first chapter, tells you emphatically, in whom you also hoped after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you received the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, of the redemption, the preservation, the praise of his glory. Now right in that, there comes in 2 Peter, which we won't read again. Now wherefore also, after I heard of your faith, the Lord Jesus, love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks, you make you mention my prayers, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, the revelation, and knowledge of him. Now it tells you right there that there's a knowledge to come. And when that knowledge comes, there comes immortality, because that's what resurrection is. Now then, at that time when that knowledge comes, we'll know the power of the resurrection and the catching up. All right, now watch. It tells you here, when the knowledge has come finally, there's no more parts. Then he himself comes. See? Now, when he comes, there is a further knowledge, which is the revelation of him that turns us back within that one step to get immortality. Now that's where Elijah comes in with that one step. Because God doesn't communicate to individuals, he communicates to a prophet. Now then, that which is perfect has come. Brother Branham said, who is perfect but God? And who is God but the Word? Now, then should that mention part be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now you're back to Romans 5 and maturity. Now you're back to Hebrews 5 and maturity. And now you're here where it says we see through a glass darkly because we only knew in a part. See? But then face to face with what? The person. See? Now, and at that time, you don't know in part anymore. The whole thing is fulfilled. And at that time, you know as you are known. Now it says abide in faith, earnest expectation, and love. But the great one is love. All right? Getting back to Peter again. Now, he said, you abound in these things, for if you abound in these things that make you, you shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a bride is coming up through seven church ages. If she comes up with the knowledge and understanding of what Peter has laid out here for us, she will be at the place of maturity, which is as far as she can go, which is brotherly kindness. Now, that's what Cain didn't have. Abel did. But it wasn't enough. He wasn't enough. Can't do it. This is where people are so thoroughly, in my understanding, messed up with the presence. They don't know it still takes the presence. Well, how do they expect God, how do they expect the dead to come out of the ground? How do they expect them to be raised, to be brought forth like Jesus? How's that going to be done? There's only one person can do it, and that's God. Now, but he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he's purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. Now what? To make your calling and election sure. Now let's just keep moving. Don't stop at one certain place here, because that's what's wrong with people. They stop in one place and they get all messed up. There's a continuity here. Wherefore not have you, I will not be, therefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. And that present truth means the truth that is presently with you and being viewed. Now, he's viewing what he is into here through revelation and a progression in people that are children of God. Yea, I think it meet as long as I'm the tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I was put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be after my death to have these things in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the dunamis and the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. That's the majestic one, the master. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son whom I have well pleased. Now, Brother Branham said that was a manifested Son. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your heart. Now he said, you got to watch right to this particular time until this thing takes place. Now he said, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And Brother Branham taking this brought us to the point, at least my understanding of this, that some of these things that occur, visions and great portents, and phenomena, all very well. But you've got to take it to the Scripture, the same as Peter did. Now that's what we're looking at here. Now watch. He's telling you that we're coming from knowledge to knowledge. And then he throws in the illustration of Christ on the Mount. Now let's go back to where that happened. Matthew chapter 16, verse 28. Verily I say unto you, there'll be some standing here that'll not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. All right? He says he's talking about the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Okay? Just hold your finger there. Now let's go to Luke 17. Verse 20, when he was a man of the Pharisees, the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here, lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is amidst you. He said, disciples, the days will come and you'll desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man shall not see it. And then he said, it's going to come as light. And the Son of Man's got to suffer and so on. Now let's go back to the 16 and 17 chapter of Matthew. After 6 days, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John. Now that's after 6 days of 6,000 years. 1 day for a year. Takes them up to the high mountain apart. Now bears them up, then he takes them in his arms and grabs the top of the mountain by anti-gravitational forces. That's dunamis. He was transfigured before them. His face did shine as the sun. His raiment was white as light. Behold, there appeared Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then answered Peter and said, Lord, it's good that we be here. If you will, we'll make three tabernacles. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. That'd be a great kind of religion, wouldn't it? Three tabernacles. Which one would you go to? Whichever one you weren't mad at or the one you thought the most of? Well, I can tell you one thing, Moses and Elijah would have soon kicked you out trying to get near tabernacle. And I'll tell you another thing, you wouldn't get to the resurrection in their tabernacle. Because Moses was only faithful over somebody else's house, but Jesus was the head of his house. And remember, that's what the word Lord means, the head of the house. He's back. All right, a cloud overshadowed them. Voice said, this is my beloved son, whom well pleased, hear ye him. The disciples heard, they fell on their faces, they were sore afraid, and Jesus, you know, said, arise. Now listen, go back to Peter now. Now what he's talking about, he's already talked about here and said, moreover, I'll endeavor that you may be able after my death, that's verse 15, to have these things always in remembrance. What he's talking about here. And he's brought this down to a source of knowledge, a recognition, and a cooperation with that recognition, a consecration to it. Every one of those take a consecration because you're birthed into it. Took me a long time. Because of the errors of Pentecost. My. What a mess. Just like here. Brother Branham used the word virtuous dunamis. But he said everybody doesn't pray for the sick. But every born again person believes it's possible that the sick get healed. Your divine intervention. And they say the days of miracles have passed, they're liars, and they haven't got any faith. See? Okay, we're reading. Now, we've not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he's telling them, based upon this, which is real, the other is also real. And what he says is real is based upon this here, which was real, which is this transfiguration experience. He said, we're eyewitnesses. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice in the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. And this voice which you heard from him, we heard when we were with him in the holy mountain. Now remember what he's talking about. See? He's talking about the fact here, the knowledge of him that called us unto glory. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now listen, you follow what I'm saying? He finalizes this thing in the illustration of the glorification of Jesus. Now that's what he says this is all about, to get glorified. These are processes involved in the bride individually and collectively. Now, we believe it, see? Now he said, we saw, we heard the voice. We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your heart. Now watch what he's saying. We have a more sure word of prophecy. Or we have the word of prophecy made absolutely made sure unto us. What's he talking about? This glory. Whereunto you will do well to take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your heart. All right, listen. Luke 17 again. The Pharisees demanded, when will the kingdom of God come? And he said, it comes without observation. It's already here in the middle of you. The days will come when you're going to want to see one of the days the Son of Man and won't see it. And they'll see, say, go here and go there, do this and do that. But as lightning shines under one part to heaven, as lightning shines from one part of heaven to the other part, so shall the Son of Man be in his day. All right? Let's go back to Matthew 24. 27, 26. Where if they say, behold, the desert going out for in the secret chamber, believe it not, for his lightning comes out, he shines under one part of the west, so shall also the presence of the Son of Man be. Now listen, he's talking about glorification and presence. And he's telling you that what he saw, the kingdom, in preview, as Brother Branham saw the bride in view and review, a preview. See? Now watch, a prophet back there, a prophet here. He saw what was coming. Now, we have the word of prophecy made sure to us. That you take heed. Now watch how you take heed. You take heed of the light at the time of darkness. Huh? You begin to understand now. Now keep your minds open and understand. I took you back to Cain and Abel. Why, he said you'll be like God. You'll know the difference between righteousness and unrighteousness. And at that time, they could have reached out and taken the tree of life and God stopped it. And Abel had the revelation. See? Now Cain was of the wicked one. He had a wicked revelation. And his impertinence to go before God is what was wicked. In the light of a demonstrated revelation. Because the fire came down to the sacrifice. Now Elijah comes at the end time. And at the end time, they know the difference between righteousness and wickedness. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's why it's two churches and it's spiritual. Never mind communism, it's nothing. See? Now, Peter's taking your right truth of the day of glorification the same as Paul was back there. Now he said, we saw. Now he said, here we have the word of prophecy made more sure than ever. Why? Because at the end time, light is going to break upon darkness. Now what is darkness? Cain. And wickedness. The worship of God apart from a definitive, genuine, God-permitted revelation. I know the world doesn't believe this. I don't care what it believes. Then drop dead, thrown to hell anyway. What do I got to do? Brother Vance, I don't pray for America. Why should I pray? Oh, you say be nice. I am nice. nicest in the whole world. Because God gave it to me. Not some treasure stuff out there that goes away from the Word of God because you want to please people be nice. I don't care if anybody's pleased here or not. You would, if you weren't pleased, you wouldn't be here. If you're sitting here just waiting to catch me sometime, I got news for you. You'll be still sitting here. And I'll be gone. Go ahead. Be my guest. I got no problem. People around me got problems, and I can prove it every time they rise up. And they'll keep rising up, too. Smart-mouthed men and stupid old ladies. Both the same thing. Now the light shines in a dark place. But the day will dawn, and the day star rise in the heart, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Well, how in the world are going to come? For prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Then if it took the Holy Ghost to bring it to special men, it's going to take the Holy Ghost to special men to give it. Now watch. But there were false prophets among the people. He tells you how it was done. Huh? All right, keep your finger. Let's go back to Matthew 24. And they came to him and said in verse 3, what will be the sign of thy presence? And in verse 23, he said, then if any man shall say, lo, here he is, or there he is, don't believe it. For there shall arise false Christ, even lying prophets that show great signs and wonders, and they'll be there to deceive the very elected, but they can't do it. Behold, I told you. Wherefore, if they say, behold, he's here, behold, he's there, don't believe it. But how will he be there? As lightning shines out of the east, comes out of the east and shines to the west, so shall also the presence of the Son of Man be. And that's the same thing he's talking about over there in Peter. Now he said there were false prophets back there. When the word was originally given, which came to the place of the presence of Christ spoken about, the word made flesh. And it wasn't in parts anymore. Every prophet had a part. The word. But now the word himself was there. Now remember, at the end time, he doesn't come in flesh. He comes in light. And it's light that brings the glorification. Now do you understand? When you get to the place of discerning righteousness from wickedness, and those who serve God and those who don't, you're standing right there ready for the resurrection. All right, there were false prophets. Even so, there should be false teachers among you. Why? Not prophets now, teachers. Brad's too cotton picking smart. They ever fall for a guy to come in with miracles and signs and wonders and tell him, and he says, get out of here, drip. You ain't got nothing to prove. Nothing's already been proved. But a teacher can come by and quote, and he'll be right amongst us. Like this idiot woman wrote, says, you call yourself a teacher and believe this. Sure, I believe that exactly, because that's how I'm a teacher. She's sick and I'm not. If I can find a certain cartoon, I'm going to send it to her. Expresses my sentiments perfectly, and I'd take care of that. And then she'll send it around, tell everybody what a rotten skunk leave they list. I've told you all the time, bless God. Now you know. Some people think that Peter was very nice. Peter wasn't half as nice as I think he was. You know, the New Testament, well, never mind. I'll tell you that some other time. Never mind the vernacular. I know what I'm talking about, too. All right, false teachers who privately shall bring in damnable heresy, even denying, which is refusing, the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now, how do you refuse him? That means to say no to or to decline him. Let's go back to Hebrews, the 3rd chapter. Oh, man, time's running up. Okay. Verse 7, wherefore is the Holy Ghost today? He said today, if you'll hear his heart. Now hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation. When your fathers put me to the test,
See?
And proved me. Denied me. Saw my works 40 years. Well, did Moses do the works or did God do the works? And who was there to do it? God was there. See? I was grieved with that generation. They all was there in the heart. They don't know my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they'll not enter my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief, departing from the living God. Now listen. You know jolly well that the Scripture says if you're absolutely born again, there's no way anybody can pluck you out of your Father's hand. There's no way you can get away, but it says right here you can get away. So we're going through the same thing at the end time. They'll say they're born again, everything else, and they'll depart from the living God. But exhort one a daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, for we are made companions of Christ. Not partakers, companions. If we hold the confidence, the beginning of our confidence, steadfast at the end. While it said today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your hearts in the provocation. Now it says, hear his voice. Let's go to Hebrews 12. Now, this is that statement concerning the New Jerusalem, concerning Jesus, the mediator, the new covenant, the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Now, he takes us right back to Abel. The man that knew the difference. See, they refuse him not that speaketh. For if they escape not, they refuse him that spake on earth. Much more should we not escape if we turn away from him, not that speaketh, but that one from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now promising, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifies removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things that cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom. This is just before the kingdom he's talking about here in glorification. Type going into the promised land, which is the type of the millennium. Now, in verse 16 of Hebrews 3, for someone they heard did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. The mixed multitude was there. With whom was he grieved 40 years? With them that sinned, whose carcasses fell on us, foolish virgin also. To whom swear he should, they should, to swear he would not enter his rest, but to them that believe not. So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. What unbelief? They didn't believe over here. They saw his works. But they wouldn't stay with the pillar of fire. They wouldn't stay with the prophet. Brother Branham said so. They wanted the law. Now, let us fear lest there being a promise left under his rest, any of you should fear you come short of it, or failed already. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed to enter into rest, he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, they shall enter my rest, although the works should finish the foundation of the world. Now he's going now. Let's go back now to Peter. He's talking about that time, especially Numbers, where they rose up against Moses, refusing the Lord, that brought upon them, that bought them, bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now, notice, those that rose up categorically were like Balaam, and also Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, whom the earth opened up and swallowed in a fire. Okay? That was under Moses. Moses didn't bring a lot of fire, but fire was that way, like Elijah brought fire. Moses brought miracles, hailstones, and so on. So we see this is in the great tribulation. Now, many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Now what? By reason of whom the way of truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. They're literally going to be speaking evil of the Logos. Now, come on. Let's go back to Matthew, the 12th chapter. Now, this has already occurred in our day. It occurred in Jesus' day, and here it is over here. Verse 22. They brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb, and healed him insomuch the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people amazed said, is not this the son of David? And they said, no, this is the other fellow. They said, isn't Messiah here? And they said, no, Messiah is not here. He was there and he turned him down flat. They said, it's the other one. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, that every king divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall stand. Now he says right over here, he says, if I by the finger of God cast out devils, the kingdom of God has come unto you. And Brother Branham had perhaps the greatest ministry of casting out devils the world's ever seen outside of Jesus Christ himself. No man ever had it. Because there wasn't one devil could stand in his presence. And furthermore, he didn't have to cast them out, but virtually he stood there and he could have cast them out. Because he said, I take every spirit under my control in this building in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the glory of God. And that's the same as casting devils out, because when you bind them, you don't have to cast them out. You make everyone shut up or stand right there and shut up. Brother Branham did it. Now, he said, at that time, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. And it's light. Back to Peter again. He said, it's light. Now, they're going to turn down the way, the truth, and the light. Evil's going to be spoken. And through covetousness shall with vain words make merchandise of you. You know, one of the hardest things in my life was to turn around and tell people what Brother Branham said about me. I kind of regret I ever told anybody. It's far better that they go ahead and believe the lies that come out of Tucson that says Brother Branham said that Lee Vale soul is as dark as night. And he said, the person that told him said it 4 or 5 times in the last year. I phoned that person. The person denied it. And said, that was said about somebody else entirely. A woman, not a man. Now, why does this all go on? Listen, you understand why I want to quit preaching and maybe not even any more tapes go out of here? No more tapes, maybe. Just even turn the machine off. You can't pick it up by ear. It's your tough luck. Because when I repeat, it'll be all gone. Because I'm sick and tired, that's all. I don't want anybody around me because somebody thinks Brother Branham said something nice. I believe he told the truth. I don't believe he lied to me. Now, if I'm telling you a lie, I'm making merchandise of you. Did I make merchandise of you when I walked out? What hold did I have upon you? If I walk out today, what hold have I got upon you? Have I taken your money? There's still money in the treasury. I'll write you a check for the rest of it. I took up $2,500 the other day. You know why? Because that's money from the outside that came in here. You say, Brother Bailey, you against my tithe? I'm not against your tithe. I want you to know this one thing. I'm not here to make merchandise of you, and you won't make merchandise of me either. Let's get that flat. See, this is one place you're going to be treated as a grown-up. You get your lumps, you get it, you get your own lumps. But when you get your lumps, smarten up. If you're doing something that's not right, quit doing it. Or try. Nobody's perfect. But I'm getting even worried about cookie jar lies now. Because God didn't like Brother Brent's cookie jar lies, though maybe not in any category. True covetousness with vain words make merchandise of you. Well, I don't like to sell you for. By the head, 2 bits apiece would be a pretty good offer. Remember years ago I went to Canada. Went back home. Don't feel insulted. I just like to kid you. I went back to Canada. They treated me so good, I almost died. I almost had a heart attack. Anybody should treat me good. I said, where were you when I needed you? I could say the same thing to anybody. Where were you when I needed you? Always needed you. In a different way than I'm speaking of. True. See? But this merchandise. Feigned words. Whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and damnation slumbereth not. Now watch the wording. Whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not. Because he was the Son of Man, he already was judged. Oh yeah. Like Brother Branham said, that little orange seed, that brought a tree, in that seed already lay every single orange that tree would produce, and it might have produced a million oranges. Already way back there. Already way back there in eternity to judge. Ling slumbers not. For if God spared not the angels of sin, but cast them down to hell, delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah the eighth person, a preacher righteous, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Now there's two worlds, ungodly and godly. Not communism and Christianity. Religion. All the way through. Because the commies will bow before it's over, don't worry. And then they'll be smart enough to wipe the whore out. That serves her right. And her lousy daughters with her. Now listen. Let's get this straight. He is talking about the fact of a glorification. He is talking about seeing it brought in an example according to a precept. The precept was there would be glory. The example was Mount Transfiguration, and he turns right around, brings it to this place here, and he said, now I'm going to tell you something. He said, this is assured unto you at the time of darkness, when light is going to rise in your heart, the eyes of your heart being illumined. Your very soul with the revelation and knowledge. Now, and as there were false prophets, we know about them. The big thing is teachers. How come everybody's running around teaching these days? Strange thing. Now God spared them not. Those angels of sin, the messengers of sin. For God spared not the messengers of sin. Now why do they want to make it angels here when he's talking about teachers here? Oh, excuse us, everybody. It's going to be somebody fluttered down. He fluttered it down. He ha, ha. If anything fluttered down, he got into somebody's body to make him a phony false teacher. I've been called that. Guy should wash his mouth with soap. Yeah, listen. I'm not kidding. And if God spared not those messengers of sin, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them in chains of darkness, be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Now it tells you who stood there when others stood there, and it tells you who else stood there. Now I'm going to tell you something. I'll tell you who stood there before that flood. Elohim stood there. Elohim was there with Noah. Yes, sir. Don't think he wasn't. Because you link the whole thing up, you can see it. See? Get it over here a little further on. Now, the eighth person, the eighth, a preacher of righteousness. A preacher of righteousness. The man who brought them what it took to save them. Took them to the one step where God could intervene and build them an ark. The knowledge of good contrasted to evil. True worship in contradistinction to false. You read Wilkinson and Mallet. If you ever get the book, the best you'll get on that, I suppose, is from Hiss of Two Babylons. I'll read it the same as I had to read that. Now, bringing in the flood upon the world the ungodly, turning, now listen, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. What did it? Phony teachers. What happened at Sodom and Gomorrah happened before Noah, at Noah's time. He was there. Elohim was there. And he's here now. Now, condemning them with an overflow, making them example unto those that should live ungodly, deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment. Now, what are the just? Those that are justified on the grounds of faith. These are not justified, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignity. Whereas messengers which are greater in power and might, that was back in the days there, that would be real angels, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord, but these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil things, evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Who? False teachers and their gangs that follow them. They shall receive the reward of unrighteousness. The mark of Cain. As they counted pleasure to rot in the daytime, spots yarn blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings, while they feast with you. Having eyes full of adultery, they cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart the exercise of covet practices, cursed children. Now this is at the end time. A bunch of teachers that come in, which have forsaken their right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam the son of Beor, who loved the ways of the unrighteousness. See, they made merchandise. These men didn't care where they broke up homes and everything else, and what they did. Why? Because all they want is money or fulfill their lust. Merciful God, if I knew exactly what people tell me going on someplace in message, I'd go to the Attorney General right now in Ohio, and I would level a complaint. And I would say, come to this church here, and you'll find how the Branham message is preached. We don't believe in these things that these men are pulling off. Because when the chips are down, they'll soon be down. You now are going to be branded as adulterers and believe in polygamy and God knows what. Yeah. Don't think you won't be hit. The squeeze hasn't hit you. But real, though, if you want to leave tonight, go ahead and leave tonight. You wonder why I'm nervous and I can't seem to get anything off my mind anymore? Because I know it's going to hit. I'm being hit for no reason at all by the stuff around me. The way that these birds are exposed. Not too long ago, a guy out in Arkansas beat a kid up. The district attorney went after him. He had escaped the country. Then when that district attorney got a new one, of course, no one worried about a case. But you think you can beat people up and pull all kinds of stuff? You say they're doing it? Yeah, sure, they're merciful God. I'm not stupid. And you, who's going to fall back on? Fall back on you and me. Having forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved wages of unrighteousness, this is Laodicea, there's lots of money out there, but was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumbass speaking with man's voice rebuked the madness of the prophet. Now, a prophet got rebuked, but these guys don't get rebuked. Unless God deals with their hearts. Just keep on doing. They are wells without water, clouds carry the tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they alert you the lust of the flesh, much wantonness. Those who are clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same as he brought in bondage. Yeah, and people are so scared of preachers. Preacher tells them all kinds of stuff. If you leave me, you'll be in darkness. Ask that. You can leave me any time you want. For all I know, you'll be set free to get some light. You want to go? Goodbye. Be my guest. Just do me one favor. Tell me you're going. I won't have to worry about you. Then don't bother coming back. I'll have one less to worry about. You say you're just smart enough. I'm not smart enough. I don't care if preach another sermon as far as I'm concerned. There's only one thing that causes me to preach, and that's a call to preach. You say, what about people? Well, they're secondary. Because if I've got a call to preach, there's somebody to preach to. If a man's got a call to feed sheep, there'll be sheep to feed. If there's a man called to bring in lost sheep, there's lost sheep out there. It's not just secondary in a certain sense of the term, but I mean to say that if there's a ministry, there's got to be something out there that needs the ministry. So I suppose it's a 50-50 proposition. Now,
Perhaps they've escaped the pollution of the world to the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ again and tangled therein and overcome the latter and is worse than the beginning. If it's better for them to have not known the way of righteousness than after they've known it, to turn from the holy commandment of everything, for it's happened according to the true proverb, the dog returns to vomit, the sow washed her wallow to the mire. That tells you right there. They went so far and they wouldn't go any further. They come right to the place of going in. And who took them in? The pillar of fire. And Brother Branham says categorically, four solid pages. From about 38 to 42 in the third Exodus, the pillar of fire takes us into the millennium. Okay, that's as far as we're going to go because that's the end of the chapter. I don't know if I'll do anything next Tuesday about that or not. I don't know. Then how my mind works. If my mind works something different, I'll preach something different. But I want you to know something. Let's understand, brother, that presence was there before Noah. It was there before Sodom and Gomorrah. That presence is right here on earth in the second Exodus. He's right here today. Amen. And the earmarks are all here. And it said you've got that one sure thing you stand on, which is that word revealed, which is vindicated. And the first time anybody opens his mouth and tells you he's got some big revelations you've got to have, you know right then he ain't got it. I've never told you one time you've got to have a revelation as far as I have concerning his presence. I believe with all my heart. I am preaching the truth. There's no way that I can understand that I'm wrong, but yet I could be wrong. I could be wrong. I've got no proof. I also told you that Brother Branham said, once you see this message, that's all you see in the Word, but the Seventh-day Adventists, they can do the same thing. That's all they see is their law. All Pentecost can see is their tongues. All the Baptists can see is eternal security. All anybody can see is what he believes. So what's the big deal? But Brother Branham said, my ministry is to declare that he is here. I don't know. I believe he is. I believe he descended with a shout. I believe he gathered around the Word. I believe the prophet has gathered us in. I believe the Holy Spirit is in our midst in the sense of the person himself. I believe he's going to change the dead when he gets through working with us. I believe he's going to rapture us, takes the wedding supper, and when he takes us up there, I believe he's going to incarnate himself in the Lord Jesus Christ, our blessed, the one that died upon Calvary and shed his blood. And I believe then if we crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he'll be all in all. We'll see him. I believe that. You believe what you want. I thank you very much for being here so I can talk to you. And I wasn't mad at anybody. And I wasn't saying anything to anybody particularly. I was just preaching. And I have preached what I wanted to say, and I'm finished. That's right. So again, we thank you for love, mercy, and grace. We know, Lord God, we don't have a chip on our shoulder as far as the people here are concerned, but we do have a right to speak out. I feel I do, Lord, and if I say those things which have been brought to my attention, then, Lord, I don't think I'm too wrong in doing it. If I am, you'll have to ask you to forgive me. I'm not going to try to kick anybody's head off, but I am going to, if you allow me to do it, and up to this point, you haven't just struck me down, though I do not, would not want to have you strike me down, Lord. I was going to have you talk to me as you have done previously. And I know you can tonight. The lead, guide, and direct in the way I ought to go. So, Lord and God in heaven, I commend myself to you in this last hour here in which we're living to preach the word of the Lord. As we see these things, and we see them in the scripture, everything is so very, very clear. Everything is dovetailing. There's not a thing that doesn't harmonize, Lord, as far as I can understand. But, Lord, I do know for I knew don't listen. And at this point, I do not have a definitive revelation, so I've certainly arrived in all these things. I don't do it. I have not. But I see, Lord, these things in a degree. And I know, Lord, if you help me, that they'll become clear. If I'm not afraid to look at them, the light of what has been presented, for the glory of Almighty God. To be not, and you said, Lord, if a man brings himself to the light, that's when the sacrifice opens right up. And is our sacrifice. And, Lord, tonight I know that I've been just as guilty as a lot of people, just afraid to come to it. And by that way, I'm condemned. If I come to it, then I'm not condemned. And so, Lord, tonight I'm ready to come. With open heart and open mindedness of every single thing that I preach, and I come right to the blood tonight, to the sacrifice that has been sacrificed for me, for the people here, and ready to lay everything that I teach and preach right on the line, and everything that is in my life. And now those things, Lord, I know a lot of those things are not good, which I have in my life, and I would suppose that there's some, pretty well everybody around the world has a whole lot less wrong than I have, but what little wrong they have got to come to the light too. And so, Lord, tonight I'm willing to come to the light and just bring everything to the light for mercy and grace. Because I know that there's no judgment if I do that. And here's where the devil would try to trick me and everybody else. And so, Father, tonight we commend ourselves, we commission ourselves, and we consecrate ourselves, whatever word we can use, Lord, meaning that we bring ourselves under subjection now to the light of God. And we just do, Lord, anything at all you can take from us and from this hour. You can put the bullet back on track, Lord. I mean it because, Lord, I've got to mean it. Where else, how could I mean anything else but this, oh God? And if anything is trying to stop me from doing it, it's got to be the devil. Because your word said this is a condemnation. That light come into the world and men will not come to the light. And Father, I'm coming right to the light with everything the prophet said, oh God. Right to the light, Lord God, and open my heart and mind now. And I'm giving it to you, Lord, that you just rip off the scales of the inner eye. You rip off the hardness of the heart to circumcise it, oh God, whatever thing, if shape and form, Lord. I'm bringing it right to the light tonight. That is indeed if I am understanding the light. And I would, that's your job to me, Father. It's your job to the people. I can't do anything else. It's your job to the prophet. How could you be a light if you didn't bring it? And if he wasn't able to be a vessel that could bring it, then that's no prophet. And if there's not a people then, that can receive a light, then it still means there's no prophet. But Lord, if there's a light and a prophet, there's a people for the light. And I stand here before you to bring everything to the light. Knowing that I myself can be wrong. But you said there'd be no condemnation if we come to the light. So we stand before you tonight, Lord, not to downgrade anybody, but particularly to warn and to exhort and admonish. And we ourselves know that we are not infallible. We ourselves know, Lord, that we're the least amongst the brethren. But here we are, Lord, as a little tiny, tiny group. And we see it very, very clearly etched in Scripture. There is no way around it. And we praise Thee, O God, that these things, certainly, Lord, that come to our attention can be inculcated in our very lives until we become the living Word of God. Right to the very glory that Brother Branham spoke of, when we shall receive that glory of 2 Corinthians, the 3rd and 4th chapters. Now, Lord, we just love you tonight because you love us. We're at peace only, Lord, because you give us peace. Rest only because you give us rest. Going on only because you take us. Now, unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory and honor through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Do you love him tonight? I think we should love him tonight. We see the Word of God so clear. You know, I think it's clearing. You know, if I put my spiritual glasses on, which is open my heart to light, I can begin to know. You can begin to know. If we were blind or a little bit clouded our eyes, we can have a cataract operation. We can put on lenses and different things and tone our eyes set up in the natural. God made a spiritual way. And I'm so glad tonight that everything he does is so good. See, there's always some kind of fear the devil puts upon. But there's no fear, brother, sister, of condemnation if you come to the light. That's when you can't be condemned. But you're already condemned, even if the blood stands there, unless you come to the light. That's why I say people worry, where is the blood? What about it? What does the blood do for those that won't come to the light? It hasn't been any avail for a long, 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 long time. On the mercy seat, off the mercy seat, what does it matter? He said, there's condemnation unless you come to light. And light is in. So I hope you got something tonight. I talked awful fast. But I hope you could follow the continuity now because it's there, brother, sister. You can't escape it. He's here, as far as I'm concerned. And I'm glad he's here. I'm glad he's here, brother, sister. I'm glad we know righteousness from unrighteousness. That means we can go to the tree of life. Right back. Immortality. No theory. No hypothetical premises. Reality. Yeah. I believe it. I believe it. With all my heart. Pretty small heart, but better exercise. Get a bigger heart. Huh? Sure, the Lord love you.